This is Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello again, this is Ian Beckles and welcome back to In the Trenches. It's going to be an interesting show today. Maybe I'll challenge a few people's manhoods because it's that time, because something has to happen with our beloved Buccaneers and something has to change because, you know, the equation is not right. And nobody knows who to blame and somebody has to fall on it. That's just the way it goes. Jason Light, Dirk Koetter, or some players. Don't know which one. Now, we've gone from being a team with the most potential and, you know, just up and coming and we're this and we're that to looking like a bunch of sad sacks because the Buccaneers are playing as bad as anybody else in the NFL right now. I mean, the Jets are coming in town and I don't know if the Bucs are going to be favored. I don't know. In their house against the Jets, who nobody thought the Jets were going to win five games this year. They got four wins already, by the way. And how ironic is it going to be when Josh McCown rolls into town, 50 years old, who we cut 8 years ago because he was too old, and beat us. Now, Raymond James is going to be barren, first of all. I mean, there's going to be nobody there for a Jet. There's going to be a lot of Jets fans. I'm sorry. There's going to be lots of Jets fans. Lots. And you know what? Because the place doesn't deserve to be packed. That stadium deserves to be packed more so when USF plays than when the Buccaneers play. Because let me give you a statistic. In the last five games, the Buccaneers have scored 16 points in the first half. If you watch that game yesterday, actually a few games this year, boy, teams get 16 points on us real quick. They drove down the field yesterday, kicked the field goal. Lavonte David, ball hits his hands. Hey, Derek Brooks, ball never hit his hands and fell to the ground. The ball hits Derek Brooks' hands, it's an interception. That changes the whole complexion of the game. You get an interception on the first drive, the game's going to turn out different than it did. I'm not going to say the Bucs were going to win because they're not a good football team. They don't have good football players. And I had an email. And if you ever want to email me and ask me any kind of question, it's Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. And the question was, it was from Eric. And basically it said, when do we start blaming the players? Everybody's blaming the coaches. When do you start blaming the players? Well, this is the thing. You can blame players all you want, but it's Jason Light and Dirk Koetter that put them on the field. It's Dirk Koetter and the offensive coordinator that put Donovan Smith at left tackle. He's not a good football player. Panfield's not better, and Benenock's not better either. They all tried a little bit yesterday to block anybody and couldn't. Sweezy is supposed to be this mean guy. He's just getting pushed into the quarterback every damn play, it seems like, if he's not whiffing. DeMar Dotson didn't play all that well. Really, there was nothing. And for the second week in a row, Jameis Winston might have been the worst player on the football field. Can't throw the ball. And I don't know if it's injury. It doesn't matter. If you're on the football field and you have your jersey on and you're one of 53 players and you're taking up a roster spot, you got to play. There's no excuses. And for DeSean Jackson, who I know is sick into his stomach watching film today, for him to break down a corner twice, he broke him down to where the dude almost fell. And Jameis threw the ball 10 yards behind him, behind his head. He receivers don't get that wide open. They don't. DeSean Jackson does. I'm not sure that Jameis hasn't left seven touchdowns on the field this year just with DeSean Jackson. It might be seven. And you can see the frustration in everybody's face. Everybody. Offense and defense. Heck, special teams, too. You're down, it's 3-0. Your defense is playing well at the moment. I mean, it's early. You give up a block punt for a touchdown, 10-0. Hey, game over. When you're down 10-0, to the Saints and Drew Brees in that stadium with that noise, the game's over. I said it too. They blocked it, touchdown, I go, game's over. Oh, by the way, I put money on the Saints. I just want to let everybody know that. Because not only is there not a lot of good football players here, but there's turmoil at One Buck Place. I'm telling you, there's turmoil at One Buck Place. I talked to DeMar Dotson last week, and we were talking, you know, about the locker room. I said, how's the locker room? He's like, man, you know, I've been in locker rooms when you're 2-5. It's not good because, you know, there's tight buttholes all over the place. I mean, real tight. Coaches are tight. Front office is tight because everybody's thinking they're going to get fired. That's the way it works. You don't fire players. You fire coaches, and you fire general managers. You fire front office people. And right now, when you fire, if Jason Light gets fired, they may all go. Everybody in that building, that's a possibility. So everybody's tight. And when you're 2-6, everybody's looking around and something's going to happen. Something this week is going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be some shaking up this week. There has to be. You can't continue to do the same damn thing. You can't. So there's something has to happen this week. Because as Buccaneer fans, I think we're all tired of just losing. I mean, think of the way our mentality, how it was way back when. I think the Bucs were 2-1, I believe. Just thinking, we're like, man, look at all these winnable games ahead. Find me another one. Right now, you can't find me another win on that Buccaneer schedule right now. Anything on the road, they're going to lose. I'm just letting you know, they're not good enough for that. And at home, if they don't beat the Jets, they might not win another game this year. That's what I see. And you know what else I see, unfortunately? I'm seeing cats lay down, man. I'm seeing dudes lay down, and that's what's disheartening for me. I stay on Gerald McCoy, and people continue to tell me he's good. Okay. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think yesterday, I want to say, I didn't look at the statistics because, first of all, he was as ineffective as I've seen him ever. He couldn't be further away from the quarterback if he tried. Just go watch it again, please. Show me the plays where he's close to the quarterback. I'll show you a lot of plays where he's getting pushed around. And I mean lots of plays where he's getting pushed around. And I'll show you other plays where he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. That's supposed to be our spiritual leader on the defense. Nothing. No plays. I'm telling you. I think I saw him make 3 tackles. One was for 4 yards, one was for 10 yards, and one was for 6 yards. It's not his job. You're a defensive tackle, and you're making a tackle for 10 yards. That's not your job. Defensive tackles are supposed to make tackles for 1 yard. That's their job, not 10 yards. He's getting pushed back a lot, I'm telling you. I'm hoping that William Goldstein is good. That was the freakiest thing I've seen. I watched the play over and over, and normally you could see something happen. What it probably is, he probably got a serious stinger, which if you play long enough, you're going to get a stinger, and that's when your arm kind of gets paralyzed, but he probably got a real serious one. I've had my share. In the last game I played, I probably got 10 stingers in that game. You just kind of get used to it. But that's scary, though, when you see somebody laying on a field like that, and when they don't take their helmet off, you don't want to see anybody getting, you know, taken off the field like that. So that wasn't cool at all. So let's hope everything is good with William Golston. And let's hope Mike Evans doesn't get suspended. Mike Evans deserves to get suspended. No doubt. Jameis was about as childish as you can be. That was childish. That's not what leaders do. They don't do that. All right? It looks bad. It's childish. And it's getting to the point now, and I said this last week. Boy, when you're that vocal leader, and that's what Jameis is, when you're up there and you're giving all these rah-rah speeches like, you know, like you're Muhammad Ali, you better go out and play. And he's not playing. There was a couple, I mean, the kid was hurt. There's no doubt about that. There was one throw he threw in the first half where he was evading, like he thought he was going to get hit, and it was bad, okay? He was cowering. Don't go on the field. If you're hurt, don't go on the field. Is he tough? Sure. But you're not helping your football team. The last 2 weeks, Jameis Winston didn't help his football team. If you're hurt, don't play. Listen, I've been on the field, hurt myself a couple times, and shouldn't have played, and I hurt my football team. You want to tough things out, but that was a bad decision. And maybe you have to almost save him from himself and just sit his ass down for a couple weeks, because it surely isn't getting better. I know a place to go that where you're not going to get your shoulder better, and that's an NFL football field. Your shoulder's not going to get better, especially when you got these dudes, especially with our offensive line. Boy, he was getting pounded yesterday. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like, I mean, that's just not, we can't win. We can't win. Well, we're not good enough to win with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we're not good enough to win with Jameis Winston playing the way he's playing. We're just not good enough. And people are asking now, are we talented? Or, hey, we have more talent than that. Well, on the offensive side of the ball, when your offensive line stinks and is getting its ass kicked, yesterday, and I saw it, that crowd noise was a son of a bitch. I'm telling you it was. And I'm telling you, it's the loudest building I've ever played in, and I've played in all of them. And it was affecting the offensive line. There was a lot of mishaps, a lot of late off the ball. Listen, an offensive lineman has one advantage, one, that we know the snap count. And when you can't hear the snap count, your advantage is gone. So there was some asses getting kicked yesterday. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I caught a couple ass whoopings in New Orleans. There was a Frank Warren back in the day, number 73. I still have nightmares over Frank Warren, whose nickname was Big, by the way. Yeah, he wasn't fun to block at all. I just didn't see good football players out there. How many tackles did they miss yesterday? Like, I'm going to go back and watch it again. I'm going to count the amount of tackles missed. It's got to be a dozen. Easily a dozen. And the people that are missing in tackles are supposed to be our good tacklers. Where's the toughness? Where's the tackles for losses? None of that. The touchdown on that 40-yard screen, there's people just jogging around. We sat here and watched the football game at our dignitary headquarters here, and Tony Mayberry was here, and he's a guy who played for the Bucs for 10 years, and we were talking about how the old Buccaneers used to play, and they used to freeze the screen when the running back got tackled, and they always wanted 11 people within the screen. This Buccaneer team has a bunch of people just jogging around. Baker, he sucks. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything. Collectively, him and McCoy in the middle are making a whole lot of money to not be doing anything, okay? And once again, no statistics, no results, ass kicking. That's what we're getting right now. We have a bunch of players that suck. Donovan Smith sucks, period. Our defensive backs don't have a chance to suck. There's no pass rush. Every defensive back will suck if there's no pass rush. That's what happens. You can't give Drew Brees that much. Drew Brees left some points out there, by the way. But our defensive backs don't even really have a chance. I mean, they have no chance. I'm telling you. The O.J. Howard fumble, it's 23-3 at that point. Game's not over. Once you fumble, that game's over. Next play, touchdown, New Orleans. I understand the frustration. I see the frustration. Evan showed his frustration on the sideline. Unfortunately, Jameis showed his immaturity. If Evans gets suspended, what's going to happen then? A running game now. My God. 1 yard. At best, 2 yards. Nobody getting pushed off the line. Well, I mean nobody. I don't see any mean and nasty out there. Like, they move Marpet to center. I think they're wasting him. Our guards aren't playing all that damn well. Ali was a guy that would actually get some movement out there. The center is not really a movement position. It's more of a thinking position, but we don't get any movement at all. Our running backs are just, I didn't think the play calling was very good, especially when you got a banged up quarterback. Run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, third and eight, throw the ball, punt. The second half, it seemed like Cutter was calling a few more screens and it was helping out Fitzpatrick. Where was the screen for Jameis? So I didn't love the play calling. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm telling you, Jameis missed Deshaun at least once, maybe twice for touchdowns. Fitzpatrick missed Deshaun as well. They showed a couple plays on cover two where Deshaun was wide open. And there's no pressure. And he still couldn't find him. So I don't know where we go from here as Buccaneer fans. I don't know where this team goes. But like I said, something drastic is going to have to happen, because right now we're playing as bad as anybody else. If we went to Cleveland right now, we're not going to be favored in Cleveland. We shouldn't be. I don't think they beat Cleveland in Cleveland. I really don't. There's not many football teams that are worse than us right now. Jameis Winston's in a bad place. You have to understand, I'm gonna compare this to Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger Woods never failed, okay? I don't mean he's always won, but he never failed. He was always good. So when he all of a sudden couldn't hit the ball anymore, like, he tripped. He didn't know what to do with himself. Jameis Winston never failed. He's always been a winner, always. And right now, he can't figure out his game. And it's like he lost his swing. And you're looking in his eyes, and his eyes are changing. That's like, I'll give you another analogy. Mike Tyson. Once Mike Tyson hit that canvas, he was a different boxer. And he was vulnerable. Right now, Jameis Winston is very, very vulnerable. Because if you mess around and put him back on a football field this week, and he plays another poor game, that's what he is. That's what he is. And what he is right now is a player that's not progressing. No doubt he's regressing. Some of it has to do with his shoulder. I get it. But this whole year, even when he was healthy, boy, that ain't it. That's not greatness at all. And there's plenty of greatness going on around in the NFL. It's just not happening here in Tampa Bay. And this is a pivotal. The last few games of this season are pivotal, man. Because the way the Bucs look right now, if the season ended right now, who are we bringing back? Who are we bring back? I mean, it's almost like you want to scrap the thing and start over. Seriously. There's only a few players right now that I would keep. If you let me get rid of them, I would get rid of a lot of them. I don't care what your name is. Bring me in some lesser names that play hard, because you ain't playing hard. And there's sometimes I looked at the film and I saw guys who just looked like pussies. That was it. And you don't want that around your name. So I hope the Buccaneers listen to this, because I've been calling some of you guys pussies. I mean, that's the way you played yesterday. There was a couple, more than once this year, I've seen touchdown runs where it almost looked like the defense was conceding. Like, there was nobody around the running back. Nobody wants to dive for anything. I don't see extra effort. I'm not seeing anything. I'm definitely not seeing a championship mentality. And you know what? We don't have a lot of champions on our team. We just don't. And it's showing. And Dirk Cutter, as much as I liked Dirk Cutter, and I still do, I like his attitude. I think he's losing, his grip a little bit. I mean, something's going on, because there's bickering going on and people are questioning play calling, and that's not the way you win. And they're not going to win. They're not going to. You know, doing my pregame show yesterday, asking everybody, because my prediction was, and I said it just like this, a lot to a little, and that's the way it turned out. And I asked everybody, give me a reason why you think the Bucs are going to win. And everybody said, if, it's not when, it's if, and you're begging. Like, we're hoping the Bucs can rush the passer. There's no reason to think that they're going to, because they don't. By the way, before yesterday, and I don't believe they got a sack yesterday. Before yesterday, 7 sacks last in the NFL, and also last in the NFL of quarterback hits. I don't remember Drew getting hit yesterday. Not really. I'm going to rewatch it. I don't remember him hitting the ground. Like, he didn't have to bathe after the game. Every quarterback that plays against the Buccaneers is comfortable. You want to get right? And Drew didn't play that great. He didn't have to. And we can't stop the run. We can't rush the passer. Our special teams suck. We can't run the ball. We can't hit our receivers. Dropping balls. Can't block up front. Play calling sucks. It's a bad time, man. It's a bad time, because the look on Buccaneers fans' faces have changed, you know, quickly. I might go to the game this week, and I know the mentality is going to be different, man. And there's going to be lots of Jets fans there. I'm going to say half. Watch. You watch. I know lots of Jets fans. They're all going to be there in the green, and it's going to look like the old days when we used to play Chicago or Green Bay. or Minnesota. And it's sad because 2-6 is what we used to be back in the day, and there weren't a whole lot of people in that stadium. That stadium's not going to look good on Sunday. It's just not, unless it's full of Jets fans, and I think it's going to be that. So I'm saying stay tuned this week. Stay tuned because something's going to happen. Something has to happen. There has to be some kind of shakeup. If it's putting James on IR, if it's sitting James down for 2 weeks, don't know. Benching a couple people that think they're good, that's all we have is guys that think they're good. Because when the film goes on, they're not that damn good. And once again, I think they were caught reading their press clippings at the beginning of the year while everybody was telling them they're good. Some people were picking them to go to the Super Bowl, by the way. Please. There's never been a team go to the Super Bowl with an offensive line and a defensive line like that. You can't win. Forget about who your receivers are. Forget about who your quarterback is. Forget about who your DBs are. If you're not good in the trenches, you won't win. You will not win. And we are porous on both sides of the ball right now. We got no dogs whatsoever. Not seeing any movement offensive line-wise. Nothing nasty. Nothing malicious on defense. Like, nothing. I don't know. I mean, if everybody's always talking about, you know, how is Dirk inspiring these guys? Man, if you have to inspire guys, you got the wrong dudes, man. This is the NFL. You got to inspire yourself every Sunday. And I told DeMar Dotson last week, I said, regardless what's happening around you, don't worry about that. You take care of your business. Because at the end of the year, when you go 4-12, at the end of the year, whoever the coach is next week, next year, whether it's Dirk Cutter or whoever it is, they're going to put on the 17th week first, and they're going to play from that back. So if you just think you're going to coast it in, that's what you are. And right now, we got people that are coasting. I saw people jogging on the field and coasting. Number 93 coasts a lot. I'm telling you, he coasts a lot. Almost like he's trying not to get hurt. I grew up with 99, right? 93 is coasting. I grew up with 99, and he wasn't scared to get hurt. And he was a bad SOB. And I shouldn't even compare those two. They're from different planets. And one resulted in something. 99 resulted in something. Resulted in lots of sacks. Resulted in a lot of quarterback hits. A lot of big plays. Made people around him better. You never needed anybody. You ever hear somebody say, well, Warren Sapp needs help on the inside? Ever hear somebody say that? They always say that for 93. Well, Gerald needs help on the inside. What help did Reggie White need? What help did John Randall need? What help did Howie Long need? Did they need help? It doesn't matter who's in there. If you're great, you're great, and you make plays all the time. I'm just saying they think they're great. And I'm telling you, one day, and this is a question for all you press people. I don't know if anybody in the press listens to this. I hope so. The numbers are fantastic, and thank you for listening, by the way. Anybody in the press that's listening to this, please do this for me, because I don't go to One Buck Place. I don't really like that. Do this for me. When Dirk Cutter stands in front of everybody he's answering questions, ask him how Gerald McCoy grades out. Has anybody ever asked him that? Ask him how Gerald McCoy graded out against New Orleans. I'd like to hear that one myself. I'm not going to ask him, but I would like to hear that answer. And if you get an answer, please let me know, because I don't know if I'm going to be watching it. Because if he says he grades out well, then the expectations for Gerald McCoy are too low. They're way too. If they think that's good, they're way too low, because that's not good in anybody's book. And I don't care how much money he makes, but that's just not good. You want to see mean and malicious and effective? Go watch the Saints defensive line. See how they played. That's how we want you to play. Because it's getting old, just not making any plays and not being effective. It has to be getting old for everybody. I've been saying it for a long-ass time now. And he doesn't really change. Every once in a while, he'll fall into a play. But that's not what makes it great. It's all of it. It's the toughness, too. And I don't see the toughness. William Golson was probably our toughest player. He's gone. Don't know how, you know. He flew back with the team, which is good. So I'm hoping for the best. But as far as toughness, and he hasn't really played well this year. I haven't really heard his name. He hasn't done a whole lot. But guys like Sweezy are supposed to be tough guys. Just getting pushed around, ragdolled. So our tough guys are getting ragdolled out in the football field. So how do you expect to win? Is it a coach's fault or is it a player's fault? It's everybody's fault. Listen, the coaches put them on the field. Jason Light put them on the field too. So it doesn't matter whose fault it is, but somebody's going to have to go eventually. And it might be sooner than later. 2-6. Look on the horizon now. You mess around and lose this Jets game at home, we may go 2-14. And it sounds, you know, it sounds, it's sad, because it is sad. There's no way anybody could have told me that the Bucks were going to go 2-6 this year. There's no way. And forget about strength. Forget about that. Just I thought they were more talented than that. But they're not playing that way. Everybody told me our pass rush got better in the offseason. Got worse. Everybody told me our offensive line got better and got worse. Jameis is supposed to be, this is his year, to get better. Jameis went to the Pro Bowl last year, yo. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. I haven't looked at his rating. Can't be good. Quarterback rating can't be good. No way. And we know what he's leaving out there. DeSean Jackson knows he's leaving out there as well. So I would not be shocked if this week, because Jameis re-injured his shoulder yesterday in the first half. There's no doubt. The way he was grimacing and wincing, and I've had this injury, and it'll heal itself, but you can't have people falling on your shoulder every week. So it's going to get healthy eventually, but they're going to have to sit him down. Like, he'd been missing practice Wednesday and Thursday, practicing Friday. He's not effective that way. I mean, he needs more practice than that. So I think I got a funny feeling it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, you know, playing against his old team and old-ass Josh McCown, who looks really good, by the way. Looks really, really good. So that's where we are as Buccaneer fans. It's humdrum right now, and it's sad. The product itself sucks. It's just not a good product. You know, I sat here, there's probably 20 people or so watching the game with me, and it was just rip the Bucks. We just were ripping the Bucks. And I remember it used to be that way. Last year, we kind of had come-ups a little bit, and we're winning some games, and I remember the time we used to just make fun of people, and this is a joke, and it's sad. It's sad again. It's sad again, and I thought we got over a hump because it's been a long-ass time. And everybody stop talking about John Gruden coming back as coach. Stop that, please. I don't want to hear it anymore. The Glazers fired John Gruden way back when. They're not going to rehire John Gruden. John Gruden's not coming out of the box. He makes ridiculous money to enjoy himself, and he's traveling around the world. He doesn't want to do that anymore. So let's stop that. Dirk Cutter's our coach right now. We'll deal with Dirk Cutter at the end of the year when it's all over, and we'll see how this whole thing ends. But you have players laying down, man. You have players laying down, and I hope a bunch of players leave the meeting today on Monday butthurt. I hope they're butthurt like they've never hurt before, because I hope they get a good old-fashioned reaming. You need one every once in a while. They need one. And I hope they don't care what their names are. I hope they, because I don't know what kind of mentality they have in there. I know what they used to be, you know, with, you know, Ron Marinelli and those guys. They didn't accept not being great. And there's just a lot of accepting right now, because there's a lot of, you know, people out there claiming that they're great, but then you got to put the film on. And nothing's worse than a film on Monday when you got guys jogging around and they're not busting their butts. I'll tell you what, it sticks out. It sticks out a lot. And there's a lot of players that if they played on those old-school Buccaneers teams, they would be benched. Those old-school Buccaneer teams, if you remember the greatness, and you could forget about the starters, and the starters were as good as they've ever been, there was backups. Marcus Jones, Tyoka Jackson. There's many backups. Greg Spiers. When they come in the game for 10 plays, they played their asses off. They were happy to get those 10 plays in there. Now we just got a bunch of people that's kind of going through the motions. And nobody's bringing any kind of fire on that football team. Quan Alexander, I haven't seen it this year. Last year he was bringing hats and knocking dudes' head. I don't know. Levante David, what has he done? Hasn't really done anything. And we just get pushed around a lot. I think we got a front-running defense. They don't, when needed, they can't make a play. Third down conversions defensively, last in the NFL. And I still hear people, every once in a while I'll tune into the sports station over there. Don't know why, but I'll tune in every once in a while. And I heard somebody say the other day, the Bucks should be 5-3 or something. I was like, what? You think you can win more games than you lose when you're last stopping in third down conversions and last in sacks and last in quarterback hits? Come on now. It's impossible. It's never happened. It's not going to happen. Not in 2017, because there's people slinging it out there. And the Bucks don't have the pieces they need right now to be even a below average football team. They suck right now. That's it. That's my, scientific analysis of the Bucks. They suck right now. They all suck. There's not a part of division. There's coaching, special teams, everybody. They all suck. Every front office sucks right now. We don't have a kicker still. We did use a second round on a kicker. That's not here. Pass rusher would be nice. And you look at other teams and you see teams that are finding guys in the third, fourth, fifth round still. Who's our guy? Who do we just find? Where's our gem? How can you not have a double-digit sack guy since Simeon Rice? How can that happen? Every team has a double-digit sack. Every team does. The Bucks haven't had one that long. Simeon Rice has been gone a long-ass time. And the Bucks can't get anybody to scare anybody. They don't scare anybody. They don't. They don't. And I tell you what, I don't know what the Saints knew, but the Saints weren't scared of our wide receivers. They weren't scared of them getting down the field. I don't think the Saints believe their offensive line can block them, and they couldn't. So quarterback, great. Receivers, great. Trenches. And people are saying, how do you get better? You don't. Whoever we have playing has to play. They got to play better. It's not rocket science. They got to play better. There's nothing you can do in halfway through the season. You can't go get players. There's no players on the street. There's no pass rushers on the street. If they're not in your locker room right now, you're effed. You're not going to go find a pass rusher. You're not going to go find a left tackle. That ain't going to happen. They don't exist, all right? The Bucks don't have a left tackle. They got an injured quarterback, and they don't have a left tackle. Donovan Smith should have been benched. The unfortunate part is Pamphile and Benenock looked maybe worse. Like, Donovan Smith kind of lazies his way into a few plays every once in a while, and he's lazy. But it's not good. You move DeMar Dotson back to the left side? I mean, is that fair? I mean, DeMar's comfortable on the right side. I don't think he played all that great yesterday. None of them did, by the way, up front. It's got to be some kind of a shakeup. I predict Wednesday you're going to hear something. I don't know what it's going to be. Whether they're sitting Jameis or they're benching somebody, or there's going to be a couple shifts and rotate something. But something has to change. You can't keep on doing the same thing and losing the same way. And it's just, that game was over fast, by the way. The game was over. There might have been 10 minutes left in the second quarter, and I look at everybody, I go, does anybody think the Bucks are going to score 14 points today? Everybody goes, no way. 14 points, you don't win with 14 points. We can't score 14 points. By the way, well, that statistic again, 16 points in the first half in the last five games. Come on. I mean, that is pitiful. That reminds me of Josh Freeman offenses back in the day. That they did that often. And this offense right now is looking like Josh Freeman is running it, because it ain't working for me. I was excited about this year and what DeSean Jackson was going to bring. And he's the last guy I'm blaming. He's the one guy is as advertised right now for me, because they're not utilizing. It's not his fault. Man's getting open a lot, though. Evans, I'm not sure what's going on this year. I'm not. A lot of it's quarterback. We know that. But he's frustrated. There's no doubt. There's a lot of players out there frustrated. And I saw a lot of faces on the sideline that you can see their frustration. And whatever I saw in their eyes wasn't good. That's not what I want to see from my team, because there was a lot of quit out there. And that is a naughty, naughty word in football. Quit is naughty. But when they put that film on today, they're going to see some quit. And I want to hear what Dirk Cutter has to say. On purpose, I'm going to listen to what Dirk Cutter says today, because he has to be questioning some manhood of some of these guys. You have to. It's that time. You piss people off. Sometimes you got to piss. Like, if you're parenting, sometimes you got to say something to your kid that's going to piss them off. He's going to have to piss some people off. That's all. Because there's people that on that team that need to get pissed. I need to start playing a little bit pissed because we have a lot of nice guys out there. A lot of nice guys. Too many nice guys out there. So I hope to God Dirk Cutter does something and puts his foot in a couple players' asses today in that meeting and once again challenge some manhood. Some of the manhood of some of these guys, because that's his ass and that's his brand that he's putting on the football field. And if I was him, I'd be sick if that was my brand, because it doesn't look right at all. So the Jets come to town. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't predict a win from the Buccaneers. Why would I? So let's hope next week when I'm talking, it's not quite as much doom and gloom. But if you beat the Jets at home, that's not time for a parade either. If they beat the Jets at home, which it's possible. But like I said, not time for a parade. The Jets aren't quite ready for prime time. Although they're not a bad football team, I'm telling you. They can play. So they ain't going to lay down, that's for sure. They've been competing this year. So we're going to have our hands full. If you guys want to get in contact with me, it's Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. If you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. I also have another podcast, Flavor in Your Ear, that I do Fridays. And I talk a little bit of Buccaneers, but I'll talk a lot of pop culture and stuff like that. So check that out as well. And let's hope something happens this week with our Buccaneers that changes a little bit, because it just seems like it's the same old crap. It's the same old crap. And bring back the orange uniforms, too, while you're at it. Everybody, enjoy your week, and be safe, please. Go Bucks. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter, at Ian Beckles, for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.